Australian scientists and engineers are playing a critical role in NASA's New Horizons mission. They operate the communications hub at the Canberra Deep Space Communication Complex that receives and deciphers the data from the Pluto space probe. Glenn Nagel is the complex's education and outreach manager. He was there at the Tidbinbilla complex as those first images of Pluto came back to Earth overnight.
Yeah, the excitement last night for us was what we call professional excitement. We still had a job to do, but the joy for us was watching the team over at the Mission Control Center and their happiness at knowing their spacecraft after this 9.5 year, 5.3 billion kilometer journey had made its closest approach to Pluto.
How critical is Australia's role in this Pluto mission?
Well, they literally can't do it without us. We have a saying in the Deep Space Network, our three stations here, Spain and California, is that you don't leave Earth without us. You need somebody to be able to provide communications to your spacecraft, and this is the only system in the world with the capability of doing missions at these enormous distances from the sun. So the uniqueness of the role that we have, of course, and the expertise of the team here from the CSIRO and our tracking station, literally tens of thousands of human years of experience, of being able to pull out these tiny little signals and to ensure that they're processed correctly, that the data can get off to the mission team, make sure that the antennas are in perfect working order, all the electronics, the processors, the timing systems, everything has to be right. And so it really takes a high-quality team, and that's what we have here.
So great excitement, but as you say, professional excitement, and I imagine also a fair bit of nervousness. How much of a problem would it be if your equipment were to fail?
Yeah, it would be a real problem. So we make sure we have backups to back up the generators on to make sure that the lights don't go out at a critical moment, and you make sure you also have the backup support of your sister stations. So particularly last night when we were doing a critical part of this science experiment with New Horizons, beaming a high-power radio transmission towards Pluto to arrive there at the precise moment as the spacecraft was passing behind Pluto, and so the signal was passed through the atmosphere. The spacecraft would capture the signal so we could learn about the temperature and pressure and composition of Pluto's atmosphere. All of that had to go, you know, absolutely spot on, total perfection. And again, this is just something that we did. So the attention, yeah.
Tell us about these three giant dishes that collect the signals. If your scientists and engineers don't get the angles exactly right, what are the consequences?
Well, yeah, you're off by a fraction of a degree here. You're out by a million kilometres out there. So that's what we say. And so the equivalent pointing accuracy for the big dishes like ours, and we have four big operational antennas here on site at the moment. So we have the big 70-metre antenna, Deep Space Station 43. It's the largest dish in the Southern Hemisphere. They're complemented by three 34-metre antennas, two of which were involved in New Horizons last night and will be throughout the rest of the mission. And these antennas, with incredible accuracy on their surfaces so that they pick up these tiny little signals, which are 20 billion, billion times weaker than the power of a watch battery, you know, literally a whisper from the far reaches of the solar system. And be able to capture those signals in, to be able to amplify them, process them at the speed of light. It's amazing to think these giant machines, you know, they're the height of a 22-story building, our big dish. To have something like that that can turn outside and spin around with hair width accuracy, that's incredible.
And NASA's predicting it'll take 18 months for all the data to make it back. Will that mean round-the-clock work for your team?
Yeah, almost round-the-clock work for us and for our other stations in the network. The spacecraft will spend this week and into next Tuesday sending back all the high-priority information, so the highest resolution shots, key shots of the moons. One shot I'm especially waiting for, and that's a departure shot, the crescent shot of Pluto with the sun behind it. It will then wait until September, and it will take at the data rate that the spacecraft has, it's about 1 to 2 kilobits per second, very slow internet, that will take up 12 to 16 months to return all of that data home, and we'll continue to listen.
But as you say, you did get those first images in last night. You were up all night. What did you make of them?
Pluto has revealed itself not just as a grey moon, you know, that's what a lot of people were speculating, thought, oh, dull, here's another one of those sorts of cratered worlds. But it's very different. This is a full world in its own right with vastly different hemispheres, a bright northern hemisphere with a heart-like feature on its surface, you know, Pluto sending its love to us, surrounded by these darker regions dominating the southern hemisphere. And they're still a mystery. And to we start, the scientists start getting back the high-resolution images, which we'll receive today, we won't know exactly what these things are. Could they just be dark dune fields covering hundreds of square kilometres? Could they be chasms on the surface? Could they even be something really exotic, like lakes of liquid neon? So there's lots of interesting features coming out. Pictures from last night still on the approach towards Pluto, but now the high-resolution stuff tonight will really reveal the true story.
It sounds like you're still not going to get any sleep, Glenn Nagle. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's a sleepless but enthusiastic Glenn Nagle from the Canberra Deep Space Communication Complex, which is playing such a critical role in NASA's Pluto mission.